everybody, and welcome to the 17th episode of the Volley Talk podcast. My name is Sasha, and I am your host for today. I hope that everyone is doing well, staying safe, and keeping active. Our guest for today is a really special person. She moved to the US at the age of 14 to pursue her volleyball career, where she later studied at the University of Southern California, started beach volleyball together with her mother, and moved back to France to represent her country and played for many, many years. She is none other than Alexandra Jupiter. In this episode, Alexandra really went deep and shared a lot of her personal struggles and victories. I'm really so grateful that someone of her experience was willing to come on the show and share her knowledge, wisdom, and experiences. And I'm sure you will learn a lot from Alexandra today. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. Who is Alexandra Jupiter in a tweet?
In a tweet, so in hashtags or something like that.
just a short description.
I'm really chill. I'm really not a hyperactive or something like that. I really like to kind of think too much broadly. I'm an overthinker. and I stay a lot at home, you know, at the end, to be honest.
Really?
And yeah, I'm really, I guess I'm starting to get old in some ways. I don't know. Maybe I've always been like that. After, you know, when I do go out for social gatherings or whatever, then I enjoy it fully. But in a regular life, everyday life, I'm just, I try to do my best because I'm not really a naturally disciplined person. And when you're a high-level athlete, you have to be disciplined. So I learned it, and I had to learn tricks. And, yeah, I had to kind of, like, learn tricks, how to manage myself and be sure, you know, I'd be there on time, do the things I need to do, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, what sort of tricks?
But taking a lot of notes.
Oh,
like deciding, like for me right now, the big trick is deciding of the hours I want to do things. Mm-hmm. It's not really to be sure that I do it in at this time, but it's to like be sure to decide in advance how much time I'll dedicate to some activity outside of training, especially because training obviously is like, I mean, it's part of my everyday life. So
yeah.
I don't have to, you know, but for other stuff, like I'm doing homeschooling, like I'm studying like from like distance, you know, because I don't have time to go to school really. Mm-hmm. So like studying and even like self-care stuff. Mm-hmm. Like for some time I was doing meditating or like stretching, like I mean, it sounds kind of stupid, but like even stretching and things like that. If I write down in my schedule, okay, I will dedicate like 30 minutes to that, but it just tends to happen a lot more than if I just say, oh, I have to stretch, and then I forget or whatever.
Yeah, actually, I can totally relate to this. I feel like I'm like that also. If it's written down in my schedule, it will be done. If it's not written, it's not going to be done.
Yeah, a lot of time I don't do everything that's on my schedule, but still, it's really a lot more concrete.
Yeah.
When I write it down.
That's how I feel as well. So, Alexandra, I did some research on you, and yesterday I found this interview that you did with La Volio Francais, I think, yeah. And I saw a lot of interesting stories about you. So, my question to you is, how did you first start beach volleyball?
I first started beach volleyball, it was through my mom, who got interested in beach volleyball. And I kind of follow her footsteps. Mm-hmm. Where did I start? I started in France, but there was really not a lot of, you know, organization and things for, especially for like youth. Mm-hmm. So really it started like 100% when we moved to the US, to be honest. When I was 14, we went to California and we moved there. And that's where I really started training every day. Before I got to train in Nice, it's in the South. Mm-hmm. I got to train a little bit with the coach and with some national teams, and but yeah, it was through my mom for sure.
Oh, okay. So your mom was a professional indoor volleyball player.
Yeah.
Oh, so did she represent France?
No. No, she didn't. She just played professional in clubs, and she started really late. Like, she started volleyball really late. I think when she was 24, and by the time she was 28, she was pro. So it went by really quickly. She was
Wow.
pretty gifted, but she did never
Yeah.
went to for a national team. And
Oh.
then after she got interested in beach volleyball, and she wanted to train and to do that life or whatever. And then I was there for it, so I discovered that life with her.
Wow, that's so cool. I mean, it'd be cool if you guys actually could partner and play in a competition, you know?
Actually, I was thinking about it this summer, but I don't actually have the time. We might do like a small tournament together, but yeah.
Oh,
Like this.
wow, that would be
I mean,
so cool.
she's not so intimidating. No, but she's still a great player. She's like the pokey queen for sure.
Pokey Queen, yeah,
Really?
Pokey wins a lot of points.
Yeah.
So, Alexandra, actually, my next question is, who or what inspires you the most throughout this journey?
I have to say, I've been at first to begin with, I was really, really closed off in my bubble, and it sounds a little bit egocentric, maybe. Like, I wasn't inspired by myself, but I was really closed and very focused on my goals, and I couldn't find like idols or anything to really relate to my situation so much. I mean, of course, I have players I respect, but they're not me. They didn't have the life I had. You know, it's not in a. I'm humble. It's really not like in an egocentric way.
I get it.
But the past few years, I made the effort to try to go and research, and I felt the need that I actually wanted to have idols, even from other sports and women's, because at first it was a lot more men too. And I was like, it's not quite right, because it's just I was more attracted maybe to some of the games or their way of playing, you know, of some of the men. But I was like, no, I'm a woman, I play like a woman, and there are great women who I for sure admire. I admire so much Kerry Walsh and other fellow players there. But I was like, why can't I, like, why am I not following them on social media even, you know? Why am I not like hooked like other people can be? And a few years ago it started, and I have to say, it might sound a little bit like cliche. Serena Re Williams, these past years really, really helped me. I mean, she really inspired me.
What do you like about Serena Williams? What part of her inspired you?
But actually, it's really how she carries herself. It's like it's a whole package, because it's the fierceness on the court, the dedication to her work, her physical appearance. I have to say that I can relate to. She's for sure more muscular than me, but as she seems like me to be somebody who has forms, like, you know, like she has a butt, she has boobs, which is not always it's not so easy to really accept all the time, especially when you go through like teenage years and things like this. And in it, like me, like she's in a sport where a lot, like most women don't look like her. And in beach volleyball, I mean, it's not so extreme, but I did feel that way sometimes. And I mean, it's not a problem or anything, but she really just gave me inspirations of self-acceptance, like really carrying herself like to the fullest, 100%. Like, I don't know how much she cares or if she has doubts, but she never showed it. She really never showed anything. And when she plays, she's giving 100% of like soul, body, and mind, you know? And I have a lot of respect for that, because it might seem like a given to people that all athletes are like that, but for me, like, the athlete you are also reflects the person you are outside. And so sometimes, even though you're supposed to be 100% focused, you might be 99% focused, because you have 1% that's thinking about your appearance right now. And the fact that maybe you don't feel so fit like these past few months, or I don't know, something like this. And to see somebody like her, you know, she had a child, she came back and she,
Yeah.
you know,
Killed
and then,
it.
yeah, for sure. Like that really, that helped me.
Wow. So do you go and watch her in the French Open?
No, I hope one day I'll be able to, but with COVID and everything and my season, I really haven't had time or money or, you know, like to do stuff like that, you know, but it's in my plans.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, you know, speaking about this, I think like your situation, what you're describing is about more about representation, right? Like you see Serena as someone that you can relate to. And then I'm sure there's some player in France or maybe someone in the world who looks at you and then they feel like, wow, I can be like her too, and you know, have you
I
as an
hope so.
idol. Yeah, so
That would be beautiful. I would love, I mean, I hope that, you know, that would be perfect.
Yeah, for sure,
I'm
for
not
sure.
trying to be an example, but if I can help somebody, then great.
Yeah, so Alexandra, what has been your toughest challenge that you had to face, and what lesson did it teach you?
The toughest challenge. It's probably challenges of, because when you're an athlete, you're constantly self like evolving. You know, you have, there's a lot of evolutions because the game makes you, makes it that way, because your weaknesses are often put in light. And it forces you to like go face to face with, okay, what happened? Why did I miss that game? Why did I lose patience? Why did I, you know, whatever? Why did I have expectations that were too high, too low? I don't know, you know. Everybody has their stuff. Why did I put the opponent so high in my mind than me? So, you know, I mean, like anytime there's stuff as little as, and everybody have, I think everybody has confidence issues, you know, like. The goal is to be confident, but also the goal is just to overcome all the doubts you can have throughout life, because life is a lot of doubts in itself. And being an athlete in sports, you're really confronted to that so much. And my biggest challenge has probably been it's been really hard for me. I was really a very like individual player. Like I'm in a team sport, but my mentality and the way I was kind of raised, I guess, in sports, has always been really like, if I do my job and she does her job, then everything should go fine, you know? And I did, I, it was really hard for me to understand the, really understand, because the team concept, okay, I can talk about it, you know, but it's just talk. But to really understand it and feel it and be able to make efforts, like really to, you know, in beach volleyball, you're only two on the court. So if one of you is in trouble, you're directly concerned. I mean, it's directly on you also. So to learn to take myself sometimes out of the my comfort zone, to and put myself at risk, to try to help the other and things like that, because maybe it's not my way of thinking. Maybe I have put more energy to think of solutions for the team and not just for me. You know, it was really stuff like that. Took me about 3 years. I really worked on it for 3 years. Like it was my main task. And I don't think I succeeded to go fully like to the end of it, but I for sure I improved.
Yeah,
You know, I
so
improved and yeah.
how
Sorry.
take walk me through the process, you know, like how was it from the beginning where it was more individual to the more team concept?
I had really great partners and I was really lucky in that way, because they're great human beings and great players, you know. And I realized when I got a little bit older, and when I, because I switched a few times partners, you know, so every time you switch, at first it seems like you understand what's happening, but a few years back, when you have experiences with the other one, it's not to say like one is better or something like this. It's really not, but there is, one will have like strength points that the other didn't have, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, there's comparisons that you can make, and it's not about who's the better player. It's just like people are different and people have different qualities and weak points. It's just life. And so that kind of going through that process 2-3 times, every time I changed partners, I had to reflect on myself and on what kind of partner I was for them.
Oh.
You know, because there are some problems that I saw that were repeating itself no matter the partner I was with. Problems, not like, I always got along with all my partners. So, I mean, not like problems that we didn't get along, so we separated. Stuff like that, you know. But like in the game, like, okay, we have the goal of the other team is to put us in trouble. So when they succeed to do that, okay, great. But how do we react and how do we counter, you know, that attack? And why I felt as a partner, I don't succeed to be part of that counterattack. After a while, I just realized that when people got out of their trouble, when it was my partner that was in trouble, when they got out of the trouble, they did it alone. It wasn't with me. And I mean, they're really strong for it. That's amazing. But I had to ask myself, maybe it's time for me to be part of that process because my partner needs me. Like, I need them. And it took some time to realize that, but, and some humility, I think. And I'm just lucky that I had great partners that succeeded to find solutions on their own. But still, you know, I just had opportunities to see that I was not, I don't think I'm a bad partner, but they were kind of alone in a lot of situations because of my way of thinking and my way of playing. And I don't think they were that way with me in return. They had that mentality, that team mentality more than, but that took a lot of observation and self-reflection to see that. And then it was hard to understand, okay, so what exactly are people like expecting of me? You know, I mean, okay, once you realize that, it's okay, so what now? What do you want me to do? But because my mentality was, I mean, you can't play for the other person. You know, it's a really complex, you know, but you are really part of the process. People can really trust me on that. You really are. It took me a long time to understand how, and it can be really small things sometimes, but you really are. And for me, it wasn't natural.
Yeah.
So I had to learn it.
Wow, that's really, really interesting what you shared, because this is really the first time I'm hearing someone talk about this, you know. Like, I mean, obviously in beach volleyball, our partners are the most important thing, but then like so often we don't really, you know, think about them in that way. And to hear you share about this is just, wow, really crazy.
I think a lot of people have this side, they have that naturally. Or maybe a lot of people won't relate maybe, but for me, it wasn't. And I'm really not a selfish person in life. It's just really the way I grew up sports-wise was do your job the best, you can help the team. But my way of helping the team has always been very self-centered. Even when I played indoor. So for me, it was just do your job the most perfectly you can. And there, for me, people were thinking the same way about their job. So when they're in trouble, I don't get mad. I just give them time to get back into it, you know? It's not about like, oh my God, she's not doing... No, I know, me too. It's hard to be perfect, you know? You can't be perfect. But it was just, okay, it's okay. You have, you know, some trouble. I let you do your thing. And I leave it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and with age, maybe I understood that maybe they don't want me to leave it that way. Maybe they want me to be there.
Yeah.
You know, propose something.
Yeah, and everyone is different, right? Some people really just want you to leave it there. Some people, they are actually asking for your help, but they are not telling you, and you have to go and figure out, speak to them.
Because when you're only two, it's really tricky. You have to really, you know, you have to be open. And I think for a long time, I was just so lucky. Because my partners really, if I didn't make that reflection myself, they didn't even show it to me. They really just managed how I was, and And after I realized, and after we talked about it, and I was like, I get it now.
Oh,
thank you.
Wow. Okay. And that transformed your game, I suppose, right? Once you slowly started to change this mentality.
Yeah. But it gave a new perspective to my game, for sure. Because it's like I was living in two-dimensional, and after I got three-dimensional.
Yeah.
No, really, there was a whole side I wasn't seeing.
Yeah. Right. So, Alexandra, do you have any pre-competition routine?
I'm really not superstitious. So I really have so few routines. And especially with competitions, I mean, I'll say, outside of, you know, stretching, warming up and things like that.
Yeah.
I do always involve music into my preparation. Like when I'm in my hotel room and something like before I go to the court, not on the court. Mm-hmm. When I'm on the court, I kind of, cause I'm pretty introverted. So I kind of need to get used to the surroundings, the if there's going to be a lot of people screaming or not. So I don't want to be like blocked from that. I need to get used to it before the game starts. So I confront myself to the reality of what's going to happen before. That's why nobody has ever seen me on any indoor or beach court with headphones on. Never. But before, yeah, I do listen to music, to my playlist. Me and my partner, we listen to music together. We talk, we laugh. After, I mean, a few hours before, we do prepare for, I mean, we do game plans for the match also on the team we're going to play. But that can happen like the same day of the match or the night before. So that depends. So it is not our routine.
Okay, I see.
All right.
Yeah. So during the match, right, there will surely be some times where the points are very close and all. So what do you do when you're in a tight situation?
Breathe. Mm-hmm. Breathing really helps you think, helps you calm down, helps you come back to the moment, like the present. Mm-hmm. And when people get in very hard situation, I think the hardest thing, it's above the pressure, above the fear of failure, above, because I mean, all that comes in also, there's the self-doubt, but there's also that it's very hard to stay in the present.
Yeah.
You either think of the points before and what happened that made you feel that way, or you are afraid about the future and what could happen in the future. Oh my God, we're gonna lose. I don't know. I'm gonna be the reason we lose. She's gonna be mad at me. The coach is gonna be mad at me. I don't know. You know, whatever could come in your mind, but it's gonna be, you're gonna be thinking ahead of the consequences when it's not even there.
Yeah.
And actually, life is always happening now. But for the sake of this question, really, every point counts. So you really need to try to come back to right now. Because it happened to me, in 3 minutes you can lose so many points just because for 3 minutes your mind went somewhere else, and I don't know, you can take 5 points, 6 points, I don't know. And the game is over just because you lost touch with what's happening right now. So breathing really happens. Like I said, I'm an overthinker, so I wouldn't advise people. I can't tell people to think, because that can be really tricky. So maybe don't think. Maybe don't think too much. You know? But breathing is simple, but really do it. Breathe.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times it's so simple that we forget to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because after you just start to think so much, and I don't know, maybe you're angry, you're sad, you're scared, I don't know, you know, people also get really angry during the game, angry against the opponent or against themselves, and you just kind of, it's so easy to lose touch.
So do you have any, you know, sort of practices to prepare you for that?
I actually did some work on breathing. but I don't remember the, because it was like, I don't know, inhale, I don't know how many seconds, and exhale how many seconds. But since I don't remember, I don't want to say wrong numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
So just go look it up, I guess.
Yeah, so anyway, the main point is to remember to breathe.
Yeah.
Right, right. So Alexandra, what has been some of your best moments or memories during your whole journey?
A lot.
Yeah,
it's not because I can't think of any, it's because I have too many. Yeah, I have too many in my mind, and I had, I mean, yeah, a lot of great moments with my partners, on the court, off the court, and they really equally count.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's outside also that you create the pair, you know.
Yeah.
And I would say the winning the Mediterranean Games, what, 2 or 3 years ago? Because with COVID, I kind of don't know how many years ago things happened.
Same.
So, yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, I think. Anyways, the last time I went to the Mediterranean Games with Aline Chamorro, my current partner, we won, and that was our first gold medal, and we really worked really, really hard. These 3 years that we played together, we worked so hard. And so that gold medal meant really a lot.
Yeah.
Just, it's like a symbol, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, finally, you know, you get some, I mean, we always got stuff back. I mean, we travel around the world. We play great games. I mean, it's really not a bad life at all. But this one was like, okay, like,
yeah,
we're number one. You know, finally, there's like, we dominated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of what you want to tell yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, the feeling of winning is always the best feeling.
Exactly. Yeah.
So Alexandra, you know, you are like one of the top beach volleyball players in France, and also, how do you use your platform to grow the sport in France?
I'm really not. I made the. It was a process to like be more present on social media.
Okay.
A lot of things happen on social media today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really get on it, and I'm still not perfect at all. But I'm working on it, you know, trying to show more stuff, do more cool stuff, and, you know, all that. Be more present. I think a lot of it is going to go through social media, to be honest, because a lot of things happen that way today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In our world. And I think if you want to get attention, I mean, of course, I mean, from what I can do personally, mm-hmm. it would be that.
See,
the other stuff are not up to me, so
so I know, of course, indoor volleyball is huge in France, but how big is beach volleyball in France?
Not that big. It's not that big. It's growing well, because I really always enjoy on Facebook, especially. I regularly get invited, like new clubs create Facebook pages and they invite me to like their page, you know. But okay. I love just seeing that, okay, there's one more beach volleyball club in the city. There's one more there. And honestly, it's been a long time project for me, and I don't know when I'll have time to do that, but I've been planning on doing a tourney, you know. Just going from club to club just to go and maybe give him a present, but just go and see and like enjoy that people are creating these clubs. They don't have a lot of money, a lot of funding, but they always have like people participating because people show up to practice, to play, to, they're happy that there's beach volleyball clubs in France, and even in Paris where the weather is not amazing, you know. There's a lot of, I mean, there's, I don't know, I know personally, because I might be missing a few. I know of 4 clubs in Paris, beach volleyball clubs, and there's no beach. There's not the greatest weather. Half of them don't have like indoor facilities. So in the winter, I don't even know how they do it, but they have a lot of people participating. So, and I love it. It's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. People are so passionate there.
But it's starting. No, it's really not that big in France, but it's I can see it growing from my side.
Yeah.
Because I'm in that bubble, so I see it. From the outside world, I don't think people see it so much, but we'll get there.
Yeah, and I think globally beach volleyball is growing also. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Alexandra,
yeah, for sure.
Besides beach volleyball, what else do you like to do?
I like adventures.
Mm-hmm.
It's not adventures. I really like to discover things, to be honest. So that's not really an answer because it could be anything and nothing. So my favorite moments is really when there's something unexpected. Like I meet somebody that will tell me, oh, I don't know, I'm a professional classic dancer or something.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to, or I don't know, they just tell me that, can I come see your practice? You know, I just want to see how it works.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that never happened to me, but like situations like that for anything really, like it could be like music, arts, I don't know, even like stuff on computers, people who are really good on computers and I'm not. So I'm really always curious to see like the other side of things, people who are inside their bubble.
Yeah.
And I want to see that. But other than that, I try to go visit things, simple things, just like villages and stuff like that. I kind of really like authentic stuff. So, and trying to meet people and learn about their life.
Oh, that's nice. So I think beach volleyball is a really good place, right? Since you get to travel so much.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
So which place do you think has been the best place that you visited through beach volleyball?
A lot of places have been great. My best memories, Austria is really... Austria, they used to have this tournament in the city called Klagenfurt.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be amazing. Amazing. And so many people would show up. The atmosphere and the crowd was unbelievable.
Wow.
I've still never seen that to this day. After I didn't go to the World Championships or to the Olympics, so maybe it's like that there. But I wasn't there, so I didn't see it. But really... Oh my God, like it was amazing.
Wow.
And every year they stopped it, but every year we used to just be like, oh, this year is Klagenfurt. Oh my God, I can't wait to be there. And I mean, Austria in general tends to have a really good crowd for beach volleyball. And that's really cool. I mean, we're always welcome. It's a nice country. I mean, it's a cool country to visit. So shout out to Austria. Norway, I've only been once, but I really loved it, and I wish maybe I'll go back after on personal time. Japan.
Japan
was amazing. Japan was really, really, really great. People were amazing also. And Australia. Australia too. So yeah, I mean there's a lot of places.
Yeah, shout out Austria. Okay. You are making me feel excited also now. So, Alexandra, what do you think your strengths are, both as an athlete and as a person?
I'm pretty good at managing my emotions. I mean, at least it doesn't show. My emotions don't show so much. And on the court, it's been really a plus because I'm just like that. I didn't work on it or anything. I'm just how I react. I guess it's been pretty positive because people are, you know, in beach volleyball, you're only two, and there's a big part that's like the mental game. And you're looking to see who's doubting, who's feeling, you know, tired or something like that.
Yeah.
And the least you show, the better it is for you. And I have been pretty gifted in that way, naturally. I've avoided all complicated situations because people didn't see that I was dying.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
Time to work on the poker face then.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
That's been a good strength, yeah.
I see. So that leads us to our next question, which is, what do you wish people knew more about you that they don't?
I guess if we follow up with the answer from before, I wish people knew how much I care, I could say, because I don't show enough in my way of just being on the court, especially. People tend to think that, I mean, they don't think I don't care, but they don't see me as a very passionate person or player. Because I don't show a lot of passion.
But that's just how I am. Yeah.
And I am. I really care. So, I do wish people could see. And when people, I mean, my partners do know, because when you know me a lot, then you can read between the lines, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for the crowd, I guess, that's what I wish all people could see.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, like, from the outside, you look very chill and all. So
yeah,
people don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not so chill.
I see. So, Alexandra, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to your younger self?
I always have so much compassion for my younger self. Like, I know you did some bad things, but I just understand that it was hard.
Yeah.
What advice I could give myself? I guess to trust more.
Trust more. You mean trust yourself or trust people or...
I would say people. I mean, trust myself. I'm not an overly confident person, but I think I trusted myself enough.
Okay.
That it brought me some success, you know. So, and my coaches brought me success, but I did fight as hard as I could. A lot of times, because it was hard for me to trust somebody would just tell me what to do, you know. It kind of like it's like a kind of logic. There's no special reason for it. It's just you have to trust that this person is telling you something that's gonna make you better and that's gonna like serve you in the future. And it was kind of abstract for me. I'm not an angry person or something like that, you know. There was no animosity towards the authority figures or stuff like that, but it was just okay, I'm listening, but I'm gonna listen myself more, because I don't see how it was just too abstract to follow like blindly the lead of somebody. And I mean, that's the advice I'd give myself, but maybe I'd regret that advice, because maybe when you follow somebody or too many people blindly, maybe you regret it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would be something to try, because it took me a long time to commit 100% to a staff, you know. I mean, I like I said, I listened, but I made my choices. I filtered.
Right.
I had a lot of filter, you know, in what I would listen and what I would apply. And maybe, you know, it would have been interesting to, even if I got burnt a few times, it's okay, you know, you bounce back. But okay. I think it's always better to open up too much than not enough, probably in sports. I think even if maybe I could have had bad surprises if I took that risk, but I would have learned from it and grew from it. So it would have made me better anyways, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? The logic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it took me a long time to take that risk.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's normal that people tend to not, you know, trust others blindly, like me, I think I would prefer if there were, you know, like facts and like logic, you know.
I mean, you trust in life. I mean, it has to do with trust me. Yes, I trust you. You know, it's not that I don't trust you. I can't say I don't trust you. It's not that. It's just that I trust you, but I'm gonna analyze the situation. You know.
Yeah. Right.
What I want to do. And the thing is that I could have tried to trust more that if they're coaches, they're more specialized than me. So maybe that's the reason why I could follow it blindly. Mm. But for me, that was really, you know, like, be careful. I don't know, really.
I see. Right, that's interesting. So, Alexandra, we have reached our last question of the podcast, actually. Wow, time flies. Can you believe we've been speaking for nearly 40 minutes already?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Speak on. Right. So, the question goes, if you could put a message on the moon for the whole world to see, what would it be and why?
Love.
Love?
Love. Just the word love. Like... Just, I think I really think that it's really, so cliche to say this, but I really think that life is love and it's just getting around to it. It's how long is it going to take you to get it, to risk it? Because life, love is painful, it's risky, it's destabilizing, it's everything. It's so much, but it's also, and when I mean love, it's not like only romantic love, you know, it's just loving one another, your, you know, friends, people, like the world is.
Yeah.
Really, honestly, I would write a big in the moon, just L-O-V-E. And anytime somebody has a hard time, it could just mean a different type of love, you know, in every situation. They could look and be like, love, just love.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that is so applicable, especially to our world now with everything that's happening, right?
It's easy to say that, but after you're in real life is complicated. It's hard to love all the time. I mean, I know I'm not, you know, I'm not a peace and love, like, I'm not a hippie or. I feel emotions, you know, it's hard, but. At the end, you realize that maybe after 30 years, 40 years, maybe when you're old, you realize that all the situation, maybe all the regrets you could have, it could have been solved by just if you loved or you took the risk to love a little bit more.
Oh, damn.
Probably. I don't know. I'm not old, but we'll see.
Mic drop. Wow, yeah. Alexandra, this has been such an amazing chat with you. I really learned so much. Like, it was such a different, you know, like, so many different things that you shared that I've never heard anyone speak about before. But is there anything else that you'd like to share or add that, you know, I might not have touched on?
No. It was great. It was amazing. Thank you. Great question.
Oh, thank you so much. And really, thank you so much for sharing with all your heart. I can tell that you went personal in a lot of questions. And
I'm always pretty natural.
Yeah, it was so nice to hear this authentic side of you. And I wish you all the best in everything, you know, for life. And yeah, I hope we get to meet one day. And I hope you get to watch Serena and French Open.
Thank you. I hope too. I want to see that in live.
Yeah. And you have to take a picture with her.
Okay, I'll try.
And then post it on your social media.
Yeah, and I'll tag you.
Oh, okay, yes.
I got it.
Tag me, yeah.
If I can see it, I'll tag you.
Awesome.
That was one of the most authentic episodes that I have ever done. Alexandra shared many, many things that I never heard anyone else talk about, and once again, I am so happy and honored to have had her on the show. Don't forget to show your love and support by following her on her Instagram at jups90, which is at JUPS90. And if you found this episode helpful, share it with your friend, your teammates, or even your coach, and tag me on Instagram at The Volley Talk Podcast. Once again, thank you for joining us, and I'll see you in the next episode.